When we look at factoring, it is a financial transaction whereby a business sells its accounts receivable, that is the invoice, to the factor at a discount. Now, a factor is just like an investment company investing, and the company sells its asset, that is receivable account, in terms of an invoice for goods which he has already shipped or which he is about to ship. If he is about to ship, then it goes as advance factoring. Here the factor provides financing to the seller of the accounts in the form of a cash advance, with the balance of the purchase price being paid net after the factor's discount fee and other charges, transaction charges, upon collection from the account client. In maturity factoring, the factor makes a no advance payment on the purchased account. That means the shipment has already been made, documents given to the bank, and at that point of time, the invoice, export invoice, is purchased by the factor, and purchase price is paid on or about the average maturity date of the accounts being purchased in the batch. The lender decides to extend credit to a company based on assets, cash flow, and credit history. These are normal methods. But as far as international trading or foreign trading is concerned, the asset in such cases is always the export invoice where shipment is made. This is often structured as a purchase of financial asset, that is the receivable account. Non-recourse factor assumes the credit risk that an account will not collect due to the financial inability of account debtor to pay. Yes, here shipment has been made to a buyer. Exporter gets his money from the factoring firm. What happens when the seller against whom the invoice has been, against a buyer against whom the invoice has been raised, does not collect the due or pay the amount? Then there is a risk. Of course, that risk is covered by companies like credit risk insurance, like ECGC and Exim Bank. Here, the three parties directly involved are the one who sells the receivable, the debtor, the account debtor or customer of the seller, and the factor. That means buyer, seller, factor. These are the three parties directly involved. Receivable in such cases is essentially a financial asset associated with the debtor's liability to pay money owed to the seller, usually for a work performed or goods sold. That means in international trade, buyer's liability to pay to the seller for the export shipment which the seller has shipped. The seller then sells one or more of its invoices. If he has got multiple shipments running, maybe with the same buyer or different buyers. These are all termed as receivables as far as the export is concerned. He can sell more than one also at a discount to the third party, that is the factor. It need not be a one-on transaction, it can be multiple transactions. maybe one buyer or maybe multiple buyers. Next, we have the currency exchanges. This foreign exchange market is one of the most liquid financial market in the world. There are very large traders, which include the governments, the central banks, that like the Reserve Bank of India, or other commercial banks, large banks, or many institutional investors and financial institutions. Then we have currency speculators, commercial corporators, and maybe sometimes individual also who have got large money with them to exchange as far as foreign currency is concerned. Here actually what happens, there are no goods or services which are traded when we come to this kind of a transaction. It is trading of a foreign currency vis-a-vis another foreign currency. Trading is done by these exchanges on the basis of foreign currency only. No goods, no service, no import, no export. Most developed countries permit trading of derivative products such as futures and options on futures on their exchanges. They've got very large exchanges. One of the biggest exchange is New York. As I told you, London was one of the biggest ones at one time. London, New York, and then Hong Kong, Singapore. All these developed countries already have fully convertible capital account. That's the major requirement. Some governments of emerging markets do not allow foreign exchange derivative products on their exchanges because they have capital controls. Capital is not allowed to move freely from one country to another. They're having some controls on the capital movement. Countries such as South Korea, South Africa, and India have established currency futures exchanges. Despite having some capital controls, yes, in India, Reserve Bank of India does have capital controls on movement of capital currency. But at the same time, it gives a little bit of a leeway, freedom for movement of capitals within certain limits. The market has seen increased turnover. It is more than the international trading market as such. That is international trading in goods and services. This is a larger market than that. Because it has got a growing importance of foreign exchange as an asset class. Foreign exchange is termed to be the asset class for this kind of trading. Increased in such trading activity, high frequency traders, then emergence of retail investors. Retail investors are an important market segment in this kind of currency exchanges. Most important is your IT. That is the growth of electronic execution and the diverse selection of executive venues which have lowered transaction costs, increased market liquidity, and attractive, greater participation from many different types of customers from all corners of the globe. In particular, our electronic trading via the online portals has made it very easy for all types of retail traders to trade in foreign exchange markets on a day-to-day basis, on large volume basis, and at the flick of the button. The growth of electronic media has reduced the transaction cost, increased the market liquidity, and this has attracted greater participation from many customers from different countries. This type of trading has made it easier for retail traders. If a trader can guarantee large numbers of transactions for large amounts, they can demand a smaller difference between the bid and ask price. Now, the difference between bid and ask price is the profit margin for the exchanger. And it is normally referred to a better spread, which may result in profitability to the exchanges. Levels of such kind of access that make a foreign exchange market are determined by the side of the line. Line is continuous currency movement in from a particular direction. That is the amount of money with which they are trading. Friends, when we saw the currency exchanges, we now have a new type of exchanger known as digital currency exchanger. A digital currency exchanger is a market maker who exchanges legal tender for electronic currency, or who exchanges one electronic currency for another. That means the exchanges take place between the electronic currencies. Digital currency exchanges are in a time of transition today, with the rise of cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin, Litecoins, Ethereum, etc., etc. Yes, these types of digital currency exchanges do exchange cryptocurrencies also. Most of the exchanges are privately held businesses, which makes the access to financial information and company management troublesome. You cannot rely on them. Due to the newness of this cryptocurrency, many exchanges have only been in business for a few years. This is a recent movement of such type of digital currency exchanges. You can use these exchanges to trade cryptocurrency and store what you have in a digital wallet. That is where the digital currency exchanger comes into play. You know, we have got many different types of foreign exchange traders. Starting from a very small trader, which you normally see at an international airport, to very large organizations like the central banks, our own Reserve Bank of India. There are different types of companies also. First, there are commercial companies. The important part of foreign exchange market comes from the financial activities of companies seeking foreign exchange to pay for goods and services. It basically means exporters, importers who are selling their goods in the international market are getting money in foreign exchange. And such type of companies are important part of forex traders. But it should not be small import-export firms. They have got to be very large commercial companies which are having continuous exports and imports for more than $10,000 per transaction. Commercial companies often trade fairly small amounts compared to those of banks or speculators. Now, $10,000 or even $50,000 considered to be a very small amount as far as forex trading is concerned. And therefore, their trades often have a little short-term impact on the market rates. It doesn't have much of an impact. But yes, trade flows. And these trade flows are important factors in the long-term direction of a currency's exchange rate. Certain large multinational corporations, they can have an unpredictable impact when very large positions are covered due to exposures that are not widely known by other market participants. That means they are a bit secretive in their movement of currencies. If they earn very large amount of foreign exchange, they may not trade it. They may keep it with them in their bank. And suddenly when a particular period they find that the exchange rate is very favorable as far as their currency is concerned, they may suddenly enter the market. That is an exposure which normally are not covered under normal transaction. Then we have central banks like our own Reserve Bank of India. These banks have a very important role in the currency exchange markets. Why? Because they try to control the money supply, inflation, and or interest rates in their local currency, number one. And often they officially or unofficially target rates for their currencies. They will always see the movement rate of their currency in relation to other foreign currencies and try to target them to bring a stability as far as their own currency is involved. One of the main factors is that a central bank will always have a substantial quantum of foreign exchange reserves. Why? They keep it to stabilize the market as far as their currency is concerned. And effectiveness of this kind of transaction is doubtful because central banks do not go bankrupt if they make large losses. But other traders could go bankrupt. So, central banks may move their currencies as and when they want. They would not look to losses or profits by other traders. There is also no convincing evidence that they actually make a profit from trading. I mean, the objective of the central bank, like our own Reserve Bank of India, is that they don't make profit as such. Their aim is not profit from such trades, but their aim is to stabilize their own local currency in relation to other foreign currencies. When foreign exchange fixing comes, it is the daily monetary exchange rate fixed by the national bank of each country. Under normal conditions, certain banks will fix their exchange rate on a day-to-day business. But they will also use the fixing time and exchange rate to see how the currency moves in the currency exchange market. They may not make daily exchange rates fixing. They actually reflect the real value of an equilibrium in the market Here, the mere expectation of a rumor of a central bank foreign exchange intervention, this should be only a small rumor or expectation that the central bank is interfering with the market or with the dirty float currency regimen will stabilize the market. And the market as a whole is so huge, so vast, that they can totally overwhelm any central bank. I mean, if the traders, foreign exchange traders, they get together, they can virtually buy over the foreign currencies of any central bank. They are so huge in their volumes. It is not the other way around. Then there are investment management firms. Investment managed firms, just like you have got for share market. Mutual funds, they are for share markets. But for foreign exchange traders, there are investment management firms. They manage large accounts on behalf of various customers, such as pension funds, endowments, use the foreign exchange market to facilitate transactions in foreign securities. They purchase or sell foreign securities. Some firms also have more speculative specialist currency overlay operations, which manage their clients' currency exposures with the aim of generating profit as well as limiting the risk. They are experts in foreign exchange managers, and their aim always is not to look at the central banks or other players, but generate profit and limit the risk. While the number of this type of specialist firms is very small, but they have very large volumes of assets which they manage, and they can generate very large trade volumes at any given time, any time of the day, at any part of the world. Then you have retail foreign exchange traders. Individual retail speculative traders constitute many segments of this market, and they participate through brokers or banks. They are individuals, like they have got maybe some relative who is working in a foreign country, and that relative sends, continuously sends foreign exchange to them over here in their country. They become individual retailers. Now, sometimes they try to enter the speculative trading market, but then their quantum and movement is very small, and for them, they go to these retail traders. There are basically two types of foreign exchange brokers offering such kind of speculative trading. They are either brokers and or dealers or market makers. Brokers will only deal with that quantum of currency and take their brokerage, whereas dealers are actual market makers. They will deal, they will take the currency, maybe hold it to see the exchange rate flow of the market, and then deal with the currency. Brokers only serve as agents of the customer in the broader foreign exchange market by seeking the best price in the market for a retail order and dealing on behalf of the retail customer. That's all. They charge a commission or markup in addition to the profit obtained in the market. Dealers or market makers, by contrast, are typically acting as principals in the respective transaction. Any party who goes to the dealers may hold that foreign currency and wait for a good price in which they are willing to deal at. Next, we have the non-bank foreign exchange companies. Non-bank foreign exchange companies offer currency exchange and international payments to private individuals and companies. Look at this. You want to go for a foreign trip as a tourist. You need foreign currency. You go and buy from such non-bank foreign exchange companies. They are known as foreign exchange brokers, but they also offer currency exchange with payment delivery to a bank account. They do not compete favorably with any well-developed foreign exchange market. But with the entry of online foreign exchange company, the market is steadily growing. But comparatively, no, this is a very small market. Most of these companies use the USP of better exchange rates than the banks. But in India, they are regulated by FIDAI, Foreign Exchange Dealers Association in India. And they also attract, because of their transaction in foreign exchange, they attract Foreign Exchange Management Act. They are governed by Foreign Exchange Management Act of 1999 through Reserve Bank of India. Then there are different forms of money transfer, money remittance companies like Bureau D Exchange. These companies, they transfer money from one party in one country to another party in another country. Like I told you before, somebody has got a relative working in some foreign country. Now, that person who is working in a foreign country, he gets his wages in the foreign currency, but he doesn't have a bank account over there. So he will give the foreign currency to Bureau D Change. And Bureau D Change in turn will transfer the money to their relative in the other country. They are also known as money transfer companies or remittance companies. And of course, they perform very high volumes of such trades, but all low transfers of economic migrants. The transfers are maybe $1,000 or $2,000 or $5,000. They just transfer the money. The biggest and largest service provider, you must have heard of them, Western Union. And this is followed by UAE Exchange Bureau de Change. Most of them are located at airports and stations or a tourist location. They allow physical notes to be exchanged from one currency to another. And sometimes if they are big companies like Western Union, they also access the foreign exchange markets via their bank or non-bank foreign exchange companies. And many consumers, they say that travelers get the best value by exchanging cash at a bank or at the network ATM. Friends, with the exchanges taking place on foreign trade, we now have a new system of exchange looking to the sanctions being placed by various countries. Our Indian government is allowing Vostro account system. This has been approved by Reserve Bank of India also. Guidelines have been created by Reserve Bank of India also. A Vostro account is an account in a correspondent bank holds on behalf of another bank. This is one bank will be holding an account on behalf of another bank. It is established to enable the correspondent bank to act as an agent or intermediary for a domestic bank. That is, our domestic bank will appoint another bank as the agent or an intermediary through this Vostro account. These include exchanging wire transfers, withdrawals and deposits for customers in countries where the domestic bank does not have a presence. That means the domestic bank does not have a branch or a presence in that particular country. It appoints another agent or an intermediary bank through the Vostro account system. The corresponding bank acts as the intermediary in the transaction of funds that are wired. The originator sends the amount of the wire to the Vostro account held with the corresponding bank. And the corresponding bank then executes a domestic wire to the receiving bank of the beneficiary. They do not transfer funds, but they just send a wire message, and then the Vostro account is adjusted between the two banks. Here there are two types of accounts which are involved in this transaction. One is Nostro and another is Vostro account. And these two types of accounts are the Nostro and Vostro accounts, which are used by banks when they keep money at another correspondent bank. The foreign correspondent bank holds funds on behalf of other bank, denominated in the local currency, are referred as Vostro accounts. That means local currency denomination or Vostro account. And then the foreign currency account also of the domestic banks deposited at the correspondent bank are referred as to the Nostro account. And the transaction, when it takes place, only the wire message goes, and the account, both the accounts, Nostro and Vostro, in that particular bank are adjusted suitably. For these accounts, the domestic bank is acting like a custodian of a foreign counterpart. These accounts are utilized to facilitate the settlement of forex and foreign trade related transactions. That means all import-export transactions which are taking place. The terms of settlement of transfer of funds can be settled by means of these Vostro and Nostro accounts. RBI has allowed this to facilitate trade in Indian rupees, to increase the importance of the Indian currency in the global market. That is where we are now looking at all foreign trade transactions in Indian rupees, import-export invoicing in Indian rupees, rather than denominating them through the US dollars or euro dollar, etc. I tell you, in the long term, this is really going to help our currency to a very great extent.
Thank you.